Well, please do be seated there. And I know that not everybody was here for the meal, but I hope if you've joined us just recently for the service that you can kind of join in with what's going on and see that we're following in the footsteps of Jesus' disciples. So we were next door and we had a meal together, and actually Jesus shared that meal with his disciples. Then they sang a hymn and went out, and we're now having a service. We've been singing hymns. And we're going to head out. And just as Jesus was then betrayed, his disciples abandoned him, and there was this deep spiritual darkness over all that was going on. So we're going to finish our evening in darkness and silence. We're remembering, we're honouring, we're marking the terrible events of that first Maundy Thursday. And I hope that the whole thing is drawing you in. That's the point. We're reenacting it to help us to think through all that really took place. And as you're drawn in, I think the very natural question to ask, as you sit here in the place of the disciples, is what would I have done? Would I have abandoned him? Or would I have stayed with Jesus? And in many ways, that's a brilliant question to ask as we examine our own hearts. But Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew that the disciples would abandon him, and he's there teaching them. So in a sense, I want to say it's a better question to ask, what does Jesus tell them to do? He knew what was going to happen. What does he teach them to do? And he says quite a few things, and there are still more chapters to go. But the one thing we're going to focus on tonight is what Jesus tells them to do. It's there in verse 4. To remain in him. He actually says it in verse 5 and 6 and verse 9 as well. And so if we all go away thinking, Jesus calls me to remain in him, well, I think we'll have got the right idea. The thing is, it might seem a little bit strange, actually, when we think about it. Jesus teaching the disciples to remain in him since he knows what's about to happen. They're all, on that very evening, about to abandon him. So we need to understand, what does he mean when he says, remain in me? Three things I want to point us to from the passage. And really the first one, and if you like the most important, is that to remain in Jesus means, first of all, to return to him after they fall. I guess Peter would be the classic example, because he abandons Jesus, but then when he has the opportunity, he jumps out of the boat, he runs to Jesus, he throws his arms around him, and he spends a nice breakfast time with him on the beach. Peter runs back to Jesus for forgiveness, and of course, it is given. And actually, on this Maundy Thursday, as we remember Jesus and his disciples, the fact that they abandoned him, it's important that we remember that they come back to him. They seek his forgiveness. And at least in that way, they are a wonderful model to us. In fact, that's probably the most important thing about remaining in Jesus, that we come back to him each and every time we ignore him or let him down. I think that's easier said than done, though. Well, I don't know how you find it. Saying sorry can be pretty hard, even though there are loads of different ways to say it. I think I find it slightly easier to say sorry to God than I do to other people. I guess I know he's going to accept me, but I still find it hard. And very often the reason is because I still think I'm in the right. Or I still want to defend my decisions and back up my position. So Sam will say to me, Dad, why did you do that? And I'll give her a long explanation of why it was the right thing to do. I was just unlucky that things went wrong. It definitely wasn't my fault. But to remain in Jesus, we need to come back to him, to come back to God, confess our sins and our wrongdoings. Jesus says, remain in the vine. And I hope you spotted the imagery of that as we had the reading. Jesus is the vine. God is the Father, the gardener. And we are the branches. And that whole picture of us as the branches, Jesus the vine, and God the Father as the gardener, it's all about fruitfulness. And can a branch be fruitful when it's cut off from the vine? Well, I'm not a particularly good gardener, but no, of course it can't. But Jesus uses this imagery of the vine not just because it's simple, not just because people then would have known about vines and how they work and how they grow. God actually had used this imagery in the Old Testament to speak about his people. God's people were the vine. God was a fabulous gardener. He'd given them all the nutrients, all the good soil they could possibly need. But they still didn't bear any fruit. So he explained that he would have to cut off the fruitless branches. But it's not only that Old Testament background that makes it such a good image for us to have in our mind. It shows us the kind of dependency that we need to have on Jesus, dependent on him for our sustenance, like a branch, get all the goodness from the vine that it's attached to. We cannot be fruitful apart from him. It would be crazy to think a branch could grow if we just tear it off. And Jesus uses the vine imagery to emphasize how important it is for us to bear fruit. That is the point of the vine. You want it to be fruitful. And I think he uses it also to teach us how normal it is for God the Father, the gardener, to be pruning the vine. That's what any good farmer or gardener would do. Except it's a lot harder when you're the branch and you have to deal with being pruned. So to remain in the vine, the first thing is that we need to return to him. But what else? Well, Jesus says also, if you look down at verse 6 and 7, Jesus' words need to remain in us. That's another way we can remain in him, if his words remain in us. If you have a look at 6 and 7, if you've got the passage open, Jesus says this: "If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you do remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples." Do you spot that bit? If you do remain in me, and my words remain in you. And I don't think he's spelling out two different things. I think he's saying this is one thing as part of the package of remaining in me. It's having my words remain in you. And the disciples are about to have Jesus taken away physically. He wasn't going to be there anymore. How would they live without him physically there? Well, they needed to remember his teaching. That's how they could remain in him. His words needed to be in their hearts, in their minds. And we can't see him. Are his words in your hearts and your minds? Do you learn verses from the scripture or even whole passages? When you see a good verse that is really helpful, do you remember the reference so that you can turn back to it? Do you put little sticky notes in your Bible? All of those things are ways to make sure his words remain in us. I think some people can be a little bit suspicious. They can think of Christians who do that as being a little bit obsessive or overly academic or perhaps even over-enthusiastic. But Jesus teaches that's not being just purely academic. That's not having head with no heart. No, actually, as his words remain in us, then we stay close to him. We remain in him. And that's great. Not only is that wonderful in its intimacy, but it's practical. It gives us something very simple that we can do to draw close to him. So to remain in the vine, we firstly need to return to him. We need Jesus' words to remain in us. And lastly, we need to obey his commands. It's there in verse 10. Put very strongly, in fact, "Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love." Obedience. It's another way to remain in him. And actually, Jesus is only asking us to do exactly what he's done. A little bit earlier in John 8, verse 29, Jesus says this: "The one who sent me is with me. He's not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." interesting, isn't it? God loves us being obedient. It does matter what we do. Of course, yes, we can always return to him if we get it wrong. But of course, it is better to be obedient in the first place. And you'll sense that. You will know that as we sin, as we upset God, he hates it. And there's a kind of distance. And if we're obedient, well, that then holds us closer to him. That keeps us remaining in the vine. So when you're tempted, and perhaps you can think of a particular temptation or a moment, you need to know that it does matter what you choose to do. If you choose to obey, even though it's tough, in fact, perhaps even especially if it's tough, well, that will draw you close and hold you in close to the Lord Jesus. And if you don't, well, it will draw you away. It's very powerful to think of being closer or further away from the Lord Jesus when we're pleasing or displeasing him. But actually, this image of the vine and the branches, I think, takes us one step closer. Not just being close to him and pleasing him, not just about friendship, but about unity, about being one with him, united to him, feeding on him, growing with him. Are you with him? Now, I know we haven't looked at everything and you might have other questions about the passage. Do come and ask me at some point when it's convenient. But there is one more thing that we need to see from this section of John chapter 15, and that's joy. The joy of remaining in the vine, in Jesus. Because Jesus has made it too clear that there's two options. There's remain in him or don't. If you do remain in him, you will, absolutely will, bear much fruit. That is, be more love, more patience, more kindness in your life. You'll have more peace. You'll grow in goodness, in gentleness, in faithfulness. You'll have more and more self-control. If you don't remain in him, then one day you'll be cut off. Those things are certain. That's really good news. But Jesus wants us to know, and he wants the disciples to know, that remaining in him is the path of joy. Look down at verse 11. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. You see, he tells them to remain in him so that their joy would be complete. Stay close to him, remain in his love, his Father's love, ultimately for their joy, so they'd be happy. And I can imagine the disciples that night, after they run away in fear. It's the dead of night. Their blood is still pumping. They're out of breath. They've been running for their lives. They're happy to be alive. They're a little sad that Jesus seems to be in terrible trouble. And as things start to calm down and they've got a quiet moment on their own, they play over in their minds the memories of the last few years. And I guess part of why it would have been so hard is because life with Jesus was so good. And it seems to be all lost. They had such joy, and it's been stolen away from them. When they were with him, they were loving people, they were making a difference. They were close to their Lord and their God. Each day, closer and closer to him, understanding him more and more, they were having a great time. And they would have felt ashamed, of course, but also, I think, devastated at what they'd lost. Because being close to Jesus brings joy. And that is a reason to remain in him. And Jesus told them this to help them, to motivate them, that they would come back to him. He knew that they were going to run off, that they were going to abandon him. But he wanted them to come back. And we need that too. Because we need to come back to him. We need to be motivated to remain in him. And we need to remember that when we are close to him, our joy will only grow, and one day our joy will be complete. So my prayer is that as you go away from this place thinking and praying about all that went on Maundy Thursday, that you would want to remain in Jesus and be really fruitful. I pray you'd be encouraged that you don't need to be perfect to do that. The disciples let Jesus down, but they returned. They returned to him. You can do that too. And you can take simple steps. Listen to his words. Try and bring them into your heart. Seek to obey them, for that will hold you close to him. And know that absolutely, that is the path to joy, and that you will be fruitful if you do remain in him. Amen.